This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Well, good afternoon to all of you. It's an honor to be with you today. And it's the afternoon. Hope you're all still awake and can still learn a few things. So they say that a picture is worth a thousand words. So without saying a lot more about who I am, there's a picture. You can quickly absorb some of that. That's my family. And away we go. I also want to say that when we get to the end of this workshop, I will put my email address up there. And so if you would like the slides, you can just email me and say, please send me the slides for Beyond Black and White, and I will email them to you. So it was December 27, 1794, and a ship named the San Jose was making its way around the peninsula of the Cape Good Hope, I think it was called, in southern Africa. It was on its way to Brazil with about 400 slaves from Mozambique. And as it rounded that cape, it struck rocks that were submerged below the surface of the water. And just 100 yards from shore, the ship sank. And about half of the passengers died. The ship did not sink because the sailors had bad intentions. The ship did not sink because it lacked integrity. The ship did not sink because it got caught in bad circumstances or dangerous weather. The ship sank because it didn't see what was right below the surface, the rocks. Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, he makes a reference to those who had made shipwreck of their faith. And since Paul used that analogy, we're going to use it this afternoon. And think about how to sail the sea of life successfully, wisely. Navigating the sea of life and avoiding those rocks that are submerged right below the surface. You've all met people that, as you observe them, you're like, wow, that's a person of substance. They're at a really good place. And you admire them. And then 10, 15, 20 years later, maybe you're young enough here yet where it hasn't even been that long, but just 3 or 4 years, you observe that person, you encounter them somewhere, and you say, whoa, what happened? What happened? It looks like somebody made shipwreck of their faith. So the big question we want to ask today is, what strategies will help us navigate the sea of life wisely? And I want to pinpoint some ideas because I want you to leave being equipped to live life a bit more confidently, to have a bit more conviction, and a bit more credibility. And hopefully you can pass that on to the people that you encounter with and interact with as well. So it would be a whole lot easier if the issues that we encountered were black and white. It'd be easier if every decision that we faced was just clearly right or wrong, right? It would save us time and effort. And there'd be less controversy, and everything would be clear. We wouldn't have to spend as much time thinking and debating and talking and arguing, maybe even at times. It would just be black and white. And you know what? There are those things in life that are black and white, aren't they? There are some things that we know this is right and this is wrong. But here's the thing. Most of us, in the decisions that we're making as we go about our daily life, are not actually thinking about the decisions that are black and white. Most of our decisions end up right here in this middle box, which maybe we call the gray areas. We wish they were clear, and sometimes to us they look clear, but then as soon as we try to explain it to the next person, it begins to feel kind of ambiguous. Or maybe it's the other way around. Somebody else feels like it's very clear to them, and they're trying to tell you, and you're listening, and you just can't quite get it because it doesn't seem clear. It doesn't seem black and white. It feels a little bit more ambiguous. So I want to think about some strategies today to help us navigate this gray area in the middle. Number one, first thing is give attention to suds. Now, what are suds? We make decisions every day. They say we make approximately 35,000 decisions. Now, I've thought about that. I'm like, 35,000 decisions? That's an awful lot of decisions. I don't know. That's hard to comprehend. That's a lot of decisions. That's what they say. Most of those decisions seem pretty insignificant. We don't look at those decisions and say, wow, that's a huge thing. No, we actually look at them and we're like, it doesn't really matter. It's not that big of a deal. We have questions like, should I get up or should I hit the snooze? What clothes should I put on today? How should I present myself? Should I click on that news article or should I close the window? Should I stop and buy a coffee at Dunkin' Donuts or should I make coffee at home? Should I listen to that friend who wants me to invest in cryptocurrency and on and on. And we're facing these decisions. And what often happens is, like I said, we view them as pretty insignificant. So what are suds? Suds are seemingly unimportant decisions. They seem unimportant. But I want you to think about each of these seemingly unimportant decisions as little adjustments to the helm of your ship. A lot of you probably drive, and you know how you're constantly, in steering a car, you're constantly just making little adjustments to the wheel. And that's to keep your car on the right course. And as we go through life, we're constantly making decisions. And each decision is like a little adjustment to the wheel or to the helm, whatever analogy you want to use. But each decision is actually important in moving us in the direction that we want to go. It's the little moments. It's the little decisions that develop you into a certain kind of person. It's the little moments that deepen your relationship with others. So when I think about the Bible and I think about what the Bible has to say about this subject, I start thinking about Bible characters. I start thinking about people like David. And he has standing against Goliath. Think about Joseph in that moment of temptation when he left his coat and ran. I think about Elijah on Mount Carmel. I think about Daniel. I think about the three Hebrew boys when the music started to play and they refused to bow down. And I keep thinking about all those big moments. But when you think about it, the scripture doesn't actually record much about the little moments, does it? But yet it's the little moments that set the stage for the big moments. So So the Bible doesn't talk a lot about David's experience with the sheep. It doesn't talk a lot about Joseph leading up to that moment when he left his coat. It doesn't talk a lot about those three Hebrew boys and what happened in the 48 hours preceding the time when the music began to play. But we do know that it's the little moments that set the stage for the big moments. Give attention to those seemingly unimportant decisions. Living wisely in a complex world, okay? How do we do this? One of the first things we need to do is pay attention, give attention to those little moments. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul says, walk circumspectly. And circumspectly isn't a word that we use very often, but you recognize part of the word, right? Circle, circumference has this idea of a circle. And then we recognize the word speckly, having to do with seeing. And Paul's not suggesting that, you know, we walk around with heads that are going in 360 as some kind of Christian bobblehead or something. But he is saying that as we walk through life, we're constantly paying attention to what's going on around us. Give attention. Walk circumspectly. And then he says, not as fools. Implying that the fools, they aren't the kind of people that walk circumspectly. They just barge right ahead, insisting that, you know what, this thing, it's insignificant, it doesn't matter. So if you're a teen here today, I want to say to you, be wise about the little things. Walk circumspectly. Give attention to the seemingly unimportant decisions. I have this quote that I think is helpful. It's a quote from Paul Tripp, and he said this: life does not careen from huge consequential moment to huge consequential moment. Okay, life doesn't work that way. We don't bounce from one big thing to the next. The character and quality of one's life is forged in the little moments. To glorify God, you must have a little moment approach to life. And one blogger wrote this. He said, in a world that is obsessed with height, fame, and larger-than-life heroics, it is easy to feel like the small acts of kindness are meaningless. Okay? It's easy to feel like they're just not important. And in the case of a hospital visit, when you will not even be remembered a week later by the person you were there for, it's easy to lose sight of how much single moments of love and faithfulness matter. No story is possible without a series of consecutive moments. Each one adds to and carries on the quality to the next. And so, navigating life wisely means you will start to see the significance of those little moments. So it'll help us avoid the rocks that are submerged right below the surface. Number two, the second thing I want to talk about, and I want to spend most of our time thinking about here today, is two types of issues. This does not originate with me. I learned this some years ago, and I found it to be very helpful in my life. Some things clicked when I read this and learned this. And beyond that, it's something that I've shared with young people. In fact, if you've been my student or you're my wife, raise your hand. I've got a couple of them. Okay, so take a good look around. Raise them high. All right, and when I'm all done, there we go. When I'm all done, if you have questions, talk to them and they'll clarify things for you. So I want to identify two different types of issues. I found that models are helpful ways for processing life, and so when this works for me, okay. And as most models, often, you know, they break down somewhere, but for now, this works. The first kind of model I call a boundary issue model or a boundary issue approach. For boundary issues, we create these boxes, we create parameters, and we say everything's either right or it's wrong. Okay? And we want to categorize everything. And so I call them boundary issues. Now, some issues are boundary issues, and I'm going to unpack this a little bit more in a moment. But some issues are boundary issues. But not all issues are. Some issues are better called wisdom issues. And I like to think of wisdom issues as more of a crossroad, where maybe it's not so much about what's right or wrong, but the question is, what direction is this path going to take me? And is it going to take me in the direction that honors and glorifies the Lord? Is it going to lead me to a place where I want to be? Now, let's unpack this just a little bit more. And so what we're going to do is we're going to contrast the two. So we have boundary issues on one side, wisdom issues on the other. Let's start with a definition. What do I mean? Boundary issues are those things which are clearly defined in Scripture. They're specifically addressed in Scripture. They're concrete. A six-year-old, five-year-old, as soon as a child can learn to read, they can start to understand boundary issues. They're very clear. Wisdom issues, on the other hand, are not clear. And you need to have the principles of Scripture. You need to identify them and apply them. And this is a little bit more abstract, because asking a 8-year-old child or 7-year-old child, they can read the Scriptures, but they're not able yet to think in an abstract way and to identify a principle from Scripture and then take it and apply it to a modern scenario or issue that they're experiencing. Let's think about the mindset. What's the mindset with boundary issues? The mindset is, where's the line? We create a box, right? And we want to put everything either in the box or outside the box. That's the boundary issue mindset. Where's the line? The wisdom issue mindset says that, you know, as a follower of Jesus Christ, should I, and if we fill in the blank, is that the way of wisdom, right? So we think of two paths, and we're like, is this the way of wisdom? Maybe it's not a wrong thing to do. It's not a boundary issue, but is it the wise thing to do? Let's think a little bit about examples. So when we think about boundary issues, the Ten Commandments come to mind. They're very clear. Thou shalt not, we fill in the blank, it's clear. Gender cross-dressing, drunkenness. The Bible clearly addresses these things. Witchcraft clearly addresses these things. But we go over to the other side, wisdom issues, and sometimes when I'm teaching students, I say, you give me the issues. And they start calling things out. Bold. You can't go to the Bible and find a verse that says, thou shalt not go bold. Should you go bowling? Is that a wise thing to do? Maybe, maybe not. It's not a boundary issue. What about attending NASCAR? What about drinking wine? The Bible does not forbid drinking wine. It's not a boundary issue. Should I drink wine? That's a wisdom issue. What about swimming at the beach, going to the beach? The Bible doesn't forbid that. Should I do it? It's a wisdom issue. Now, we'll come back to a couple of those and I'll hopefully make reference to them a little later. Let's think about the biblical hermeneutic that's required. When we think about boundary issues, what kind of hermeneutic is required? Well, it's pretty basic and it's pretty quick. You don't need to know the Scriptures very well to figure out if a boundary issue is right or wrong. Okay? Thou shalt not steal. Your hermeneutic's pretty basic, pretty simple. You don't need to know it a lot. You don't need to do historical, cultural studies in order to figure out what the passage means in context. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, it's right or wrong. We know what it is. Wisdom issues, on the other hand, are a little bit more complex, aren't they? They require us to do Bible study. Okay. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. We divide it correctly. We got to identify, draw out the principles of Scripture, and then do the hard work of saying, now what does that mean for us today? How do we live our lives? This is a lot more complex. What kind of knowledge does one need? What knowledge is required in boundary issues? Well, it's pretty limited, isn't it? You don't need to know the Scriptures very well at all. You can have a very surface-level understanding, a very shallow understanding of Scriptures in order to process life through a boundary issue mentality. What about wisdom issues? It's a lot more extensive. You need a much more extensive knowledge of the Scriptures. You need to know the Scriptures well. You need to be able to compare Scripture with Scripture. And as you process the issues, you need to be able to reach around the Scriptures and pull this principle and that principle and pull it together and say, okay, God, how do you want me to live my life now? Frequency. How often do we encounter boundary issues? Occasionally. I don't spend a lot of time trying to decide, should I steal or shouldn't I? I don't spend a lot of time trying to decide, should I bow down to this idol or shouldn't I? I don't encounter that many boundary issues. Wisdom issues, on the other hand, is all the time. As we live our lives, we're asking the question, you know, God, how do you want me to live my life in a way that honors and pleases you? Now, two notes. For boundary issues, assigning proof texts is sufficient. And what I mean by that is when we approach life through a boundary issue mentality, all we need to do is find a Bible verse and attach it to an issue, and we're done. With wisdom issues, you can't just attach a proof text. You can't just tag on a Bible verse and say, okay, I'm done. A lot more work needs to be done in teaching and explaining, communicating. Now, under the wisdom issues, it says this is not relativism. Some people, when they hear me explain this, they mistakenly think that I'm saying that all of life is a wisdom issue, and so you might see it one way and I might see it another way, so it doesn't really matter. It's just a wisdom thing. Do what you want. That's a misunderstanding, because we know God has an opinion. God has an opinion about how we live our lives. When we're standing at a crossroad, God has an opinion. And he has a desire that he wants us to follow. The path of wisdom is about identifying the heart of God in that decision and trying to honor him. And so it's not relativism. Now, I'm just going to park there for a moment. I know this is a bigger group. Would there be any questions about that before I go on? Maybe as you're thinking about this, you have a pressing question. Anyone?
So are you saying that the wisdom issues are right or wrong?
Yes. Yes. So I think that there is a right or wrong, but it takes wisdom to know which way to go. And it's much more complex. And so, for instance, their scenarios may change. Okay, so let's go back to the bowling analogy. I suppose there could be contexts where bowling is a wrong thing to do, right? I suppose there could be contexts where God does not want his people to be bowling. I suppose there's other contexts where it could be just fine. I suppose God made the beach, right? Beach is a great place to be. It's a beautiful place to be. However, there are principles that we could apply that sometimes say, you know what, that's not a wise place for me to be in that scenario. Let me use this analogy or this example. So my son worked for a man who was on a journey, maybe still is on a journey, and he was experiencing difficulty with his church because he liked alcohol. And his church asked him to take a position of abstinence. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. And so he constantly was putting pressure on my son, saying, where does it say in Scripture that thou shalt not, you know, drink wine or alcohol? Where does it say that? And my son, because we've been through this conversation, and he said to him, it doesn't say that. You can drink alcohol. Then my son responded and said, but should you? Is that the wise thing to do? Now let's take the principles of Scripture and apply them. My son did this. He said, thou shalt put no provision. Well, it doesn't quite say that. Those are my words. But we're not supposed to make provision for the flesh. Okay, there's a principle there. And we don't want to make provision for our flesh to sin and fall. So maybe we need to think about that. We want to honor our weaker brother, as Romans 14 talks about. We want to avoid being a stumbling block to other people and to younger people following us. We should think about that. What about the appearance of evil and the testimony that we have in the world around us and with our relationships with others? There's three principles. Let's apply it to this situation. Should I? And it changes the way we look at it. Does that make sense? Are you following me? You all with me? Okay. Good question. Any other questions? Okay, moving on. Making every issue a boundary issue is most comfortable. It's much easier to take every issue that we encounter and try to make it a boundary issue. And if you're an older adult here today, I think you know what I mean. It's just easier. It saves time, it saves debate, it saves frustration in trying to communicate. It's just easier to quote a Bible verse and say, duh. Here's a quote from Robert C. Roberts. He said this. He said, there is something comfortable about reducing Christianity to a list of do's and don'ts. Whether it is a list from the mindless fundamentalism or mindless liberalism, you always know where you stand, and that helps to reduce anxiety. It's just easier to say, here's a line, it's black or white, and let's just keep it simple. It's much easier. He goes on to say, do's and don'tisms have the advantage of not requiring wisdom. And I love that. They have the advantage of not requiring wisdom. And you do not have to think subtly about life or make hard choices. And you do not have to relate to a demanding and at the same time loving Lord of your life. Living life with wisdom, on the other hand, it's more complex. Excuse me. And we need to think a bit more about hard choices and what it means to love God with all our heart. The third thing that I want to say to you today is to avoid maelstroms. Now, what are maelstroms? My understanding is that a maelstrom is like a whirlwind, but it's out at sea and it's water. And these things develop and they're very powerful. And if they get larger, they can grow and grow. And they begin to suck boats and ships into them. And if you get caught in a maelstrom, it sucks you in. It takes you down underneath. It's like a vacuum. And it can cause destruction. Well, as we go through life, as we're out in the sea of life, we want to avoid these powerful maelstroms that are wanting to suck us in, wanting to get us caught in this circular movement and just pull us down. Here's the first one. Incorrect labeling. So as we think about these boundary issues versus wisdom issues, as we think about these two different kinds of issues, one of the maelstroms, one of the dangers that I see is that people sometimes do what I call incorrect labeling. And as a result, sometimes people go right past each other in their conversations. Sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's unintentional. Let me explain. Incorrect labeling. You can have a situation where a young man is saying to his parents, "Why can't I do X, Y, and Z?" And when his parents give him an answer, they're answering from a wisdom position. But because the wisdom-ish position results in an explanation that they don't want to hear, they change the issue to a boundary issue and say, "Where does it say that in Scripture?" And they demand a text. So maybe you have a situation where there is a young man who is arguing or discussing with his parents the issue of vaping. And so you have Thomas, right? And Thomas is saying to his parents, "What's wrong with vaping anyways?" And his parents are like, "It's a sinful behavior. We don't want you vaping." And he says, give me a verse where it says, "Thou shalt not vape." And he's demanding that they turn it into a boundary issue. If they try to comply, all they do is create the situation where they miss each other. Because he's looking at it through a boundary issue mentality, and they're looking at it through a wisdom mentality, they're going to miss each other. Because when he says, or they say, 1 Corinthians 6:19, I think that's a verse that says, you know, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And he's going to look at that and say, "I still don't see vaping. So what's wrong with it? You can't tell me it's wrong." And they're going to miss each other. So this incorrect labeling thing can be a reason for why adults and teens sometimes miss each other. I've recognized over the years as a teacher in school that teens tend to want to turn issues into boundary issues. For one reason, they're still thinking in concrete ways, and boundary issues, everything being black or white, just fits their way of processing life. It's easier. It's also easier to justify what you want to do. And so I've observed this, and I've observed teens that will ask me questions. And they're like, "So, tell me, what do you think about this? Is it right or is it wrong?" And I'm like, "That's not the way we're going to approach this issue. It's the wrong way to approach it." And so this incorrect labeling thing can be a problem. But sometimes adults also incorrectly label issues, because, as I said, it's easier. And so sometimes teens come with very difficult questions. "So why do we do this? Why do we do that? Or why do we try to avoid this?" And they fill in the blank with these great questions. And if adults don't have the time or the patience to sit down and talk through it, which can get pretty messy, then it's easiest, just as I said, to quote a Bible verse, have a text on, and done. But then it causes frustration later on when the teen goes back and can't find or doesn't see the connection. The second thing that goes along with this is what I call reductionism. And this is when we take something that's actually pretty complex and we reduce it and try to make it something very simple. So Life is complex. And we can't take the complex things and try to make it into something simplistic. Some time ago, I needed a speedometer for my bicycle. Actually, I just needed one little piece because the speedometer that I had was perfectly fine, but a little piece of it had broke. So I went online, I was trying to order the little piece, and I couldn't find the little piece. I had to buy a complete package. And so I paid for it, and the whole entire package came in the mail. Life often comes to us in packages. And too often, especially young people, they tend to reduce life down to just that one little thing. And they fail to see all the pieces that are coming with it. Life comes in packages. And so this whole thing of reductionism can be a big problem. Some time ago, I passed a man on the road, drove past him, and he was coming towards me in a pickup truck. And that's not that unusual, I understand. But what was unusual is that this man had just made a pretty big transition in his life. He got rid of his horse and buggy, and he bought a pickup truck. And as I passed him, my mind started wondering. I was like, does he have any idea what's all coming with that package? Now, we're not saying anything about his decision other than, does he realize the package deal that comes with that one decision? And way too often in life, we reduce things to something really simple. And we're like, it's not that big of a deal. It's this or that. And we fail to see the package that comes with it. The third maelstrom that can catch people is this whole idea of mocking and scorning. The Bible, Proverbs, talks about people who seek wisdom and never find it. And one of the reasons they never find it is because they're busy mocking the wisdom that they do hear. And sometimes it's easy to listen to an explanation of an older person, especially if we're younger, and we listen to the explanation of the older, and we're like, what? I don't get that. That's funny. And we begin mocking the explanation, and we fail to hear the voice of wisdom. This can be a big problem for younger people. Don't get caught in the mocking and scorning. And then a fourth one is this whole idea of exceptionalism, where we look at an issue and we say, you know what, that's not that big of a deal. I know often, you know, in a lot of people's lives, it takes them down that path, but it won't me because I'm somehow different. I'm the exception, and I'll get a different result this time. And this whole idea of exceptionalism, seeing myself as different, I can break the rules of sowing and reaping. It doesn't work. We always reap what we sow. And we always reap in a different season. Right? Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 and 23 says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the marketplaces, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. The voices of wisdom are crying out to us. They come to us in many different ways. We need to hear. These voices of wisdom come to us, as I said, in many different ways. I like to use the acrostic SCORE. S is Scripture of Special Revelation. We hear the voice of God, the voice of wisdom, coming to us in this way through a relationship with Jesus Christ, with the presence of His Spirit in our lives. It comes to us through our conscience. It comes to us through other people. One of the ways God speaks to us and guides our path with His wisdom is through other people. It comes to us through reason at times. Christianity is not opposed to reason. And it comes to us sometimes through the events and the circumstances as they line up. Doors open up, doors close. And God guides our feet. So in summary, give attention to the seemingly unimportant decisions. Pay attention. Walk circumspectly. Identify the type of issue that you're encountering. Is it a boundary issue or is it a wisdom issue? Some issues are boundary issues. Some of life, a lot of life, is about wisdom. It's that gray area. Avoid the maelstroms. Don't get caught in those. And then hear the voices of wisdom as they come to us in those ways. A couple minutes left. Do you have any questions? Or maybe you have made a connection in your mind and would like to share that connection here today. All right. Well, thank you for your attention. And there's my email address. If you would like a copy of the slides, email me and just request a copy for Beyond Black and White. And I hope and pray that this can be helpful for you in navigating life wisely in a way that honors and glorifies God. I'll turn the time back over to your mom.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.